Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Okay, we'll rock straight along now. Time to look at what's coming up on our big and small screens for the week ahead. And joining me today are writer Henrietta McCurvey and producer Owen Sweeney. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Owen, before we get down to specifics, I gather you've become a devotee of cosy crime shows.
I have, for a very odd, well, not odd reason, but very logical reason. But yes, cosy crime. I call it Mam Telly. I've called it Mam Telly for a while because, you know, my mum was addicted to them and they were kind of, I don't like the phrase guilty pleasure. Who does? Why yeah. should we apologise for liking something that's a sequential drama or whatever? They have certain characteristics. She loved a whodunit, do you know? No more than the rest of us, I think. And as well,
a gentle kind of whodunit.
See, this is the thing that I thought. They're all gentle. They're all yeah. kind of rural. They're all kind of trees and sunshine and the odd little bit of cosy crime. They're not all like that. The crime, there's a lot of murders in these things. Funny enough, if you ask me what I was watching most at the moment, it's Heartbeat. Literally Heartbeat, which I hadn't watched since I was in school when
with
it started.
Nick Berry.
You can hear yeah. Nick Berry singing Buddy Holly in the background, yeah. can't you? Yeah. And of course, Neve Cusack was in the earlier series as well. She was the love interest. Yeah. That's going yeah. back to the 90s. Anyway, as it happened on a personal note, my mother had been in hospital and between the jigs and the reels, finishing the day's work, by the time you get to visit her, she's sitting there watching telly and Heartbeat is on. So I ended up, you know, sign of a good and healthy relationship, sitting in silence watching television.
Yeah.
And then being an Irish son, chatting during the ad break and only the ad break because you've nothing else to say. What do you say every day when you visit your mother in hospital? Anyway, got addicted to it. And since then, obviously, my poor old mother passed away a few weeks ago. But
yeah, and our condolences.
Thank you very much. But the weird thing is, and in a weird way of kind of bonding again and keeping it going with yeah. my mother, the telly box is loyally recording all her shows.
So her legacy
ever since
is there.
So this
I love
is
it.
Yeah. So I've been sitting down and watching at least once a day, A Heartbeat or whatever, and just kind of enjoy it because she promised me there were twists and turns ahead, and boy jeepers were there. So now this isn't exhaustive, this is a very personal, it's a story of kind of my poking around in the world of okay. cosy crime. But if we start with Heartbeat, for that's what it was, it's got nostalgia, it's the 1960s. You've got coppers in rural North Yorkshire. But there's a much darker side to it. They deal with social issues of the day, which would appeal to my mother because she was a teacher for many, many years. They're dealing with kind of teenage pregnancy. They're dealing with, you know, kind of reproductive rights. They're dealing with, they're and sometimes in a light way as well, as the vicar's wife is MS, so the vicar has read
okay,
somewhere
yeah, yeah.
that if he grows marijuana in his greenhouse, she can use it to treat symptoms. So there's kind of this changing sense of a wider society, of course.
Okay, give us another few of them there.
There's a great soundtrack to Heartbeat as well. It's not just kind of the Hollies, and I've heard
really?
A lot more.
I'm
sitting there shazamming the whole time.
All right.
And by the way, 18 series, 372 episodes, and if you blink, you'll
wow.
miss them. But
wow.
Benedict Cumberbatch turns up in one of them. Father Brown is another one. This is a G.K. Chesterton character, so it's got a proper literary lineage, shall we say. Played by Mark Williams, who we will know from The Fast Show, who suits you, sir. He's one of those too, isn't he, with Paul Whitehouse. This is plenty of frocks, flowers and old cars. And if you sit there with herself, as I did, she's Googling away the regos of the British cars. If you go to carcheck.co.uk, you can Google the registration plates of all these old cars if you've got a petrol head in the family, and they can see if they're privately owned and if their MOT is up to date.
Okay.
10 series, 110 episodes, an alarming number of murders. It's a murder every episode, and Father Brown himself basically takes off the stone and kisses it at some point at the start of the episode because he's giving the last rites to a victim, and then he ends up solving the crime, which much to the chagrin of the local copper, who looks
okay.
Remarkably like Dermot Mulroney, and also features a Cusack as well. Sir Cusack.
So it's like TV from another time isn't it, before everything got so sophisticated and complicated. But you're saying more sophisticated than
more
than
sophisticated
think.
Okay. I think okay. although I will say Midsummer Murders, I haven't watched any of this, right, but this is summer, so
okay, this is your last one. Yeah,
this is 2 hours long.
People
right?
do love the old Midsummer
oh,
Murders.
Oh, they love it. It's yeah. 2 hours. This is what used to send my mother to sleep. She had a fridge magnet on her thing that says, if you looked at my Netflix algorithm, you think I'm either a chef or a serial killer, and this proves it. 23 series, 138 episodes. The very first one, I had to leave the hospital. Visiting hours were over, but I kind of, I was sitting there the first 10 minutes of this episode, Brendan, the first 10 minutes before John Nettles came along to solve the crime. And that's the other thing, they always have these kind of great old actors
yeah.
that are familiar faces and reassuring. 15 minutes in, this fella gets bludgeoned on the altar, and I turned to my mother and said, are you sure he should be watching this?
Yeah. Listen, that's the best tribute I've heard anyone pay to their mother in a long time. That was a fitting memorial for her, I feel. We'll stick with cozy crime, Henrietta. I think it's kind of cozy crime. I've no inclination to watch Only Murders in the Building, but it's back on Disney on Tuesday for season 3.
That's right, another 10 episodes. I'm really looking forward to it. So it's Steve Martin, Martin Short and Selena Gomez, and they play New York neighbours in this ritzy Arconia building, who after a tenant turned up dead in the first season formed a vigilante, basically Scooby Squad, and recorded it for a podcast. So the second season, they dealt with the loose ends from the first season, unravelling a lot more loose ends and sorting everything out in a big killer reveal party, which was really good fun. So this is 1 year on, season 3, and it's the opening night of a Broadway play directed by Oliver, that's Martin Short's character, in which the lead actor, Paul Rudd, is swiftly dispatched on the stage. So they have another murder to solve. It's the intergenerational scheming is one of the most charming things about this. The relationship between the three actors. There's okay. amazing comic chemistry.
And is it funny, ha-ha?
It is funny, ha-ha, and it's also quite touching.
Okay.
There's one point in the new series where Mabel, that's Selena Gomez, is asked what on earth she talks to these older men about. And she says, murder mostly, but also how to connect to Bluetooth. We talk about that a lot.
Okay, okay, yeah. okay. So that's... Only Murders in the Building, back in Disney.
Disney Plus, yeah.
Tuesday, season 3. Owen, this is a movie I'm always meaning to watch, and people say it's absolutely brilliant. It's a great one for people to tape, maybe. T.G. Cahir, Monday, 9:30 p.m., The Death of Stalin.
Yes, if you had told me back when I was watching Heartbeat, when I was studying for my Leaving Cert or whatever, that the likes of Beria, Khrushchev, Malenkov, Zhukov and Molotov, these Russian characters, you had to not only remember their names studying for the Leaving Cert, but what they did and who they were and jostling for succession after Stalin had died. If you told me they would have been lead characters, main characters in an ensemble cast in a satirical movie, that absolutely just kind of blows away your expectations of you know, what is possible, you know, what material is possible to mine for successful comedy.
Yeah.
Well, I would have looked at you askance. But it is great. It is on 9:30 on TG Car. It's got a fantastic cast. It's Amanda Iannucci, the day-to-day, Alan Partridge, you know, and Schneider's in there as well. David Schneider's in there as well. It mixes truth, it mixes the apocryphal, and it mixes fiction into a great story. Stalin, it's got a wonderful story that is unverified, but it's a great setup and it appeals to radio people as well. At the very start of the film, this is how Stalin dies, he's listening to Radio Moscow. There's a concerto playing. He obviously kind of takes a shine to it and rings the radio station, goes, I'd love a recording of that. Thanks very much. Send me over a copy of that concerto. They don't have the heart to tell Stalin, because everyone lives in fear of him, that it was a live broadcast. So the director of Radio Moscow has to quickly reassemble the audience as much as he can and the orchestra to record the thing, drag the piano player out of bed, and then they send over a 78 with the recording on it. Just one pressing, obviously, because everyone's totally in fear of Stalin. Stalin, he would listen to it and dies, whatever. The bodyguards hear him thud, but they're terrified to wake him up because everyone's afraid of Stalin. So there's all this constant fear of the man, and then the whole kind of, I suppose, the whole thing crumbles around him. It's played in kind of a natural sense. Jason Isaacs is brilliant, because he plays Zhukov, who's head of the Red Army, but he comes in as this bluff Yorkshireman like Jeffrey Boycott or something.
Okay, got it.
But Shamey's in there as a New Yorker.
T.G. Cahir Day. T.G. Cahir, Monday at 9:30 p.m. Henrietta, Painkiller on Netflix next week. I feel I've seen the Sackler story twice at least at this stage. Dopesick and Empire of Pain, both brilliant, I would say, but this is another take on it.
Yeah, and at first I was thinking, do we really need another drama that sounds like Dopesick? But actually we do. Like, in the last 20 years, an estimated 300,000 people in the US have died after overdosing on prescription pain medication. So it feels like we're only getting started. You know, and Painkiller, so it is a drama. It has Matthew Broderick as Richard Sackler, who's the disgraced former president of Purdue Pharma. And there's a great line in it where he says, well, Matthew, you know, Sackler says, all human life is a combination of two things, running away from pain and running towards pleasure. And OxyContin, the painkiller, sort of completed that circuit for people and really took hold. So it is about the collision between medicine and money, which in a country as vast as the States, you know, that's a multi-billion dollar industry. So it does look like a really interesting take. It looks very similar production values to Dopesick, I thought, from the trailer. So that'll be interesting to see. Does it actually play out quite differently?
But as you say, it is an amazing story. And actually, you would watch it again. Owen, Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop, also Netflix from next Wednesday.
This is quite interesting. This is a four-parter. Anything with Queen Latifah in, I will watch, including Her Last Holiday, which I'm sure we've all seen. This is continuing on from, I said Chuck D had a series on the BBC recently about kind of looking at the 50 year, if you like, kind of the very pre-birth of hip hop. It's wonderful when you've got a musical genre that you can actually trace the moment at which it started. And there is footage pretty much of the early days.
That's Kool Herc in a block party.
In the Bronx, exactly. So you're right back to the start. And obviously, the problem with the Chuck D series was kind of, you know, the role of women in it. And it was a bit awkward how it dealt with it. Whereas this is very much authored by women about, I suppose, I don't like the phrase repositioning, but retelling the story perhaps, but kind of a broader sense. And the first episode, stick with it, it's really good. It'll give you a great playlist of songs that you're going to want to investigate. It'll remind you of some tunes that you've probably forgotten about. In terms of kind of the early days, we have the likes of Sylvia Robertson, who ran Sugar Hill Records and brought us the Sugar Hill Gang, who brought us Rapper's Delight, etc., etc. Very much in the background. Where it really succeeds, though, where directorially, it widens out the lens to look at the context of African American women, black women. There's a great line in it which says, "Black women's rage is essentially an art form." And there's something very powerful about women having the mic, particularly in hip hop, particularly in the context of gangster rap, etc., etc. And you think of the B word and the omnipresence of that and all this kind of fraught.
The lyrics, etc. Ladies First, A Story of Women in Hip Hop, Netflix from next Wednesday. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to cut it short there because we just got this in. On Tuesday, the 8th of August, from 10:30 a.m., people will have an opportunity to pay their final respects to Sinead O'Connor when her funeral cortege will progress along the seafront in Bray, past the home that she lived in for 15 years, Montebello Strand Road in Bray, County Wicklow. The route will begin at the Harbour Bar end of Strand Road, continue along the seafront to the other end of Strand Road, where Sinead and her family will then continue on to a private burial. Sinead loved living in Bray and the people in it. With this procession, her family would like to acknowledge the outpouring of love for her from the people of County Wicklow and beyond since she left last week to go to another place. The Gardaí have asked the people gather if they would like to say a last goodbye to Sinead from 10:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning along the Bray seafront. And I'm sure there will be a lot of people who will want to mark Sinead's passing. So sorry to cut you off there, but I think it's good to get that out. So thanks very much, Owen Sweeney and Henrietta McCurvey.